Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. We have a very informative program today. Of course, starting with the latest on health and healing, we're going to talk about black cumin seed oil. University College London says that it really helps improve the anti-inflammatory potential so you can breathe easier, especially if you have asthma or other conditions. But that's just on health and nutrition. More importantly today, we are finally finding all the pieces coming together. What do I mean? There was a massive demonstration, very peaceful demonstration, very upbeat, positive demonstration in Brussels against the mandatory lockdowns and vaccinations. If you watched the mainstream media, you would know none of that. You would see rioting. You would see people dressed in black outfits, smashing windows, attacking the police. You would see running and fighting. But that didn't happen. That was all a false flag. How do we know? We have the proof. We're going to play a tape today from a woman who has the different videos. Now, in my opinion, she is too strong in her presentation. It's just my opinion. But Richard Gale and I will be here to dissect what she is showing you. You're actually going to see this for yourself. This is very rare. We have someone who has actual footage contradicting what is actually happening. You'll see hundreds of thousands, over 500,000 people with singing, clapping, very peaceful. And then you'll see none of that. You'll see violence. But then we see the violence being staged. We see the people behind the scenes staging it, filming it, and like a director saying, cut, and then go on to the next action. And this is all the information that's being distributed throughout the world. BBC, all the American television, is about these terrible anti-vaxxers. To the contrary, most of the people there are pro-vaccine. But now we're also going to see what is happening in Canada. Up to 50,000 or more truckers are now in the capital, and they're protesting, and they're going to stay there. Now there's a movement to bring all the truckers in America to Washington, D.C., and to stay there until all that's being done that should not be done is reversed. Also, do you remember last weekend there was a very peaceful demonstration with about 35,000 people in Washington, D.C.? It was very well presented. No violence whatsoever. Well, you're going to see how they played it. And you're going to actually see reporters from the major networks there saying just the opposite of what was actually occurring, what was being said, and who was saying it. Because someone filmed it, meaning filmed the major networks filming the demonstrations, but lying about what they were showing. So we're showing you in Washington, D.C., in Brussels, around the world, the establishment, meaning the governments, the vaccine manufacturers, other players, the deep state, have been fabricating all the disinformation, virtually everything that you hear and see on virtually all of the networks, with a few exceptions, are lies. And then a commentary from Glenn Greenwald explaining how they've done this, how they've gotten away with it. But now everyone is saying, oh my God, we're seeing the truth. What do we do about it? Then I'll be giving you some insights from Mahatma Gandhi and what he would have done if he were leading the push against these draconian laws today. That's our program, a lot to share. And you can watch everything in real time. All of the footnotes, dozens of other articles, other videos are on my channel, and you can go there and under the footnotes for the show. All right? Now, from the University College London comes a study about supplements containing the oil of black cumin. It's called Nigella, N-I-G-E-L-L-A, Sativa, S-A-T-I-V-A. It can improve asthma control and lung function, says the new study. It was published in Phytotherapy Research, a major peer-reviewed journal, and it found that just 1 gram of the oil a day for 4 weeks led to significant improvements in scores in asthma control and a remarkable reduction in peripheral blood count. So that is important. So if you have asthma or if you have inflammation in the lungs, and I suggest COPD also be considered for this, then try what they did in this randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study, significant reduction in the symptoms of people with these lung disorders. From the University of Connecticut comes an interesting study about meat and multiple sclerosis and your microbiome. Eating more meat, having less a certain bacteria in your gut, and more of a certain immune cells in the blood, all link with multiple sclerosis. So writes the team from the University of Connecticut and Washington University School of Medicine. The work published in the current issue of eBiomedicine teased out subtle connections that could lead to a better understanding of the causes of the disease. But teasing out the exact relationship between diet, immune response, and multiple sclerosis has been difficult. We just know this, and this is just from my own experience because I've done a lot of work with multiple sclerosis patients. I've been able to reverse it and stayed reversed. You've heard the people on the air. You've seen them, like Kenny, the plumber, completely reversed, no multiple sclerosis. He is healthy and well today, and he was going towards death under the care of his two different teams of neurologists, saying nothing more could be done, just put ramps around his house. So we know that the more inflammation that you have from environmental factors in the workplace or home, that's why you should have a very clean environment. Get rid of all the products that have particle board. Particle board is where they glue with very toxic resins the wood together and then put some kind of veneer on it or some kind of topping. You don't see it, but it's outgassing. Formaldehyde put in carpets also outgasses. Formaldehyde used in a lot of the clothing that we wear outgasses. None of this is good. But the worst of all is the foods and beverages. Coffee, inflammatory. Alcohol, terribly inflammatory. Meat, inflammatory. There's the part of this that touches this study. But also French fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, pizzas, muffins, all these are inflammatory. Sugar, artificial sweeteners are inflammatory. So you start to think, gee whiz, most of the American diet is inflammatory. That is correct. That's why most people suffer from heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity, dementia, all forms of pain, all from these pro-inflammatory cytokines. Now, what happens when you get the coronavirus? You have inflammatory cytokines. Then after about 4, 5, or 6 days, the body is not dealing so much with the virus, but rather with the lungs, and that's bacterial. So you want to make sure that you get rid of all pro-inflammatory items, change to a healthy plant-based diet, drink lots of fresh juices like orange juice in the morning, ginger, garlic, lemon, carrot. I would also put cucumber and celery in there. That's a great anti-inflammatory drink just to help people. Now, flavonoids may reduce death risk for people with Parkinson's disease. This is interesting because in a study I did about 16 years ago, it was a brain damage study, meaning anyone who could prove by medical documentation and reviewed by our board certified neurologist, if you had damage, Parkinson's, ALS, Alzheimer's, dementia, multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis, if you had any of these, you were allowed in the study. And you had to have your medical records, then you had a full exam. I mean, every kind of test imaginable. And then we started 16 months meeting every week. But at the end of it, we had a 91% success rate of stopping and even regressing to total cure, many of these individuals. And we brought these people forward at scientific conferences. Everything was out in the open, published article in peer-reviewed journal. I believe I attended 5 or 6 international conferences of scientists to share the results. Not a single word in the American media. It's as if it didn't happen. Same way with when I cured AIDS, as if it didn't happen. So when everyone else was saying there is no cure, they were wrong. I'll give you one example. And by the way, Muhammad Ali's, the people closest to Muhammad Ali, I don't want to go into the names, contacted me and saying, we hear you're doing good work with multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's. I said, yes. And they said, well, as you know, he has Parkinson's, yes. And we understand you had a person, a 70-year-old African-American male, that completely reversed it. I said, yes, and we filmed it. You have before where he's shaking like this, totally uncontrollable. His body shakes. He couldn't feed himself because the fork or spoon couldn't get to the mouth. He couldn't comb his hair, couldn't brush his teeth, couldn't shave. And at the end, he held out his hands, steady as a rock. But more importantly, he had a really unusual side effect. What was it? For the better of a non-existing term, I called it acute memory. What is acute memory? And this surprised us. This was on the last night, and we filmed this. He said, my memory's come back where it's never been that way in my entire life. I said, give us an example. He said, well, how many people are in my high school class? 22. Okay. I'll bet most of us wouldn't remember how many people were in the class. Approximate size of class, 18 to 25. Okay, name them, their first and last names. He was able to do that. Could you imagine naming everyone's first and last name and how many were in the class when you were in high school? He could do that at 70. How about that? He had other things also. So he went out to regain a life. Now, if nothing else, the mainstream medical establishment has said, well, that's not possible. Fine. We're going to challenge you. Great. Nothing more than I like than a challenge on these issues. Then I would have brought out all the medical documentation that he had before he entered, because remember, they had to have all their medical materials showing that he had the condition for at least 7 years. So it established that he had been treated at many different places by board-certified neurologists, and here's all the records, and he was getting worse. We would have also had interviews with people that he worked with or family members. We would have then had him making his statements and showed the video of him on first day. We have all that. Then we would have had his progress through the study and all of the medical records and the board-certified neurologist who was a part of the study, oversaw it. And then we had had his final conclusions and then having no Parkinson's at the end. That would have been our evidence. Now, they could have been skeptical. That's fine. But even a skeptic must at some point look at the evidence that they're skeptical about and look at it honestly and say, does this in any way alter my skepticism? And if so, why? And if not, why? Because the fact that you see a truth that you're not prepared for doesn't mean that you're willing to give up your not wanting to trust that. We have a lot of closed-minded people. They're more like in a cult. That's most of Orthodox medicine. And that's virtually all of politics today. It's a cult. The woke generation, it's all a cult. There's no reality in actual substance to it. It's all an altered, perverse, and we'll get to this in a little while, projections. But now at Pennsylvania State University, people with Parkinson's disease who eat more flavonoids, meaning the richly colored berries and cacao, chocolate, and your fruits and vegetables, quote, may have a lower death risk than those who don't. How about that? Quote, you may have a lower mortality, that's death risk, than those who don't, end quote. So what we did 16 years ago, and they were drinking 13 glasses of fresh vegetable and fruit juices per day, we didn't look at their chances of dying. And this was a 34-year study that they did. And they said yes. And that's good, because if you eat more fruits and vegetables and you're diagnosed with Parkinson's disease and you have a lower risk of dying, what if they looked at our larger study that showed that you can change Parkinson's and reverse it? All right, just sharing that with you. and you can go up online and download our studies and the videos surrounding them. Also from the University of Buffalo, interesting study, a group links social media use, how often you use it, to worse physical health. That shouldn't be a surprise. I don't think we need a study at this point to prove that. A new study finds a link between social media use and biological and physiological indicators associated with poor physical health among college students. The researchers found participants who used social media excessively had higher C-reactive protein. Uh-oh, not good. Why? Because C-reactive protein, CRP, is a biological marker for chronic inflammation that predicts serious illness like diabetes, certain cancers, and cardiovascular disease and stroke and heart attack. Ah, so now when you buy your cell phone or your laptop or your computer, shouldn't it have a black box warning? Excessive use can lead to C-reactive protein, which can lead to biological chronic fatigue or chronic inflammatory markers, and can lead to death. That's the reality. Sharing it with you first here. And again, that's not me saying this. That is the University of Buffalo in a new peer review study. And finally, University of Exeter, which is in the United Kingdom, can a lack of sleep make you feel older? A study from the university suggests that more likely you are to perceive yourself as being older than your biological age if you don't get enough sleep. They look at 4,500 adults 50 years and older and ask them about their sleep habits, sleep duration, and most do not sleep well. And a lot of that is predictable because their habits, eating late at night. Remember, when you eat anything at night, especially anything that might break down into a monosaccharide, polysaccharide, trisaccharide, any of the simple sugars, like if you had anything of a carbohydrate, and you ate that. Let's say you ate a pizza at 9 o'clock at night and you go to bed at 11, that pizza's still in your stomach and it's going to break down. And when it breaks down, you're going to have all kinds of metabolic processes occurring because the body doesn't want it just to sit there. So you've turned on the engine, where before you turned off the engine. You're now in a catabolic or cleansing detoxification state. But when you eat something, you drink a cola, there you go. You drink tea with sugar in it, turned on the engine. Now you're anabolic. You're building up again. The body gets confused. It's going to do whatever you tell it to do. So you're telling it, I just ate something. Okay, now it's got to convert that into energy or amino acids or essential fats or all the above. And now you're not going to get a good night's sleep. Drinking too much liquid before you go to bed, you're going to have to get up and urinate. Bladder fills, not going to get a good night's sleep, not going to result in a restful sleep. Having any electric appliance around you, electromagnetic pulsing, like a cell phone that young people have in their right by their pillows, or laptop on, computer on, instead of unplugging it, again, you're getting those stimulations. Having noise in the room, light in the room, same thing. You see, all these plus stress can all predict a poor night's sleep. Then you can reverse it also. We're going to take a break, a music break, and when we come back, we're going directly into Bill Maher ranting against the left. Why? Because he is a member of the left? No, he and a lot of people, a lot of us who grew up, were at the historical left, the historical liberal, where Republicans said, and the old conservatives wanted small government. No. They lied. And when they wanted less done by the government, more done by corporations, look how that turned out on both ends. When the government does more for us, or the corporations do more for us, it's always at a cost. And the liberals believed in unions and living wages, not just minimum wages. They believed in collective bargaining. What happened to that? Where'd that go? So you see, there's enough blame on both sides of the political spectrum. So Bill Maher's being specific. I think we should hear what he has to say. Then we'll come back from that, and then we're going into what happened and what really happened in Washington, D.C. from someone who filmed it, and we get to see the filming of what, who was there, the fact that it was not one of these right-wing Trump-supported rallies had nothing to do with Trump at all. In fact, virtually all the people that I know who were there, who are speakers, and I know most people, are adamantly like myself. I'm adamantly against everything involving Donald Trump. Everything. Why would they lie and say, oh, it was, you know, a bunch of, you know, anti-vaxxers? To the contrary, every single person that spoke was pro-vaccine. In fact, many of them already had the current vaccine. So these weren't anti-vaxxers, very small percentage. And what about the people who were anti-vax because they had been damaged before, or their children now have been living with autism? They have every right to be concerned when the government and the vaccine makers were held harmless. But the children are now having to spend the rest of their life with a condition that their vaccines caused. Would you feel that you were justified in being conscious about what goes into your child's body? What about all the people who are there, my body, my choice? Oh, no, no, only selectively my body, my choice. Free speech, oh, only selective free speech. No, we've come a long way from any sense of idealism in trying to honestly protect the average person and their lives in the state of the environment. Bill Maher goes off on part of that, but then this rally in Washington shows you who was there. People from all walks of life, all political persuasions. They weren't there to talk politics. They came united. They came like Gandhi in 1930 with the Salt March, where hundreds of thousands of people marched over 240 miles to the ocean to protest the government, the British government's mandate on taxing salt. It was against the law if you actually mined your own salt. So they went to the ocean to get their own salt, because all you have to do is dry the seawater and you have salt. And so it was a protest and they won. But 60,000 were imprisoned, beaten. Yeah, they were dealt with terribly. But that then only led to Gandhi going further. I'll get to that later if time permits. Anyhow, so the truth of what happens, you have to be there to observe for yourself. Because what we're being told in the media is all lies. It's all distorted, as you'll see in a moment. Please stay with us.
And finally, new rule, it's depressing enough. Having just had a birthday and being 66, please don't ask me to start doing grown-up things like run for president. A few weeks ago, Fox News's Dana Perino, a former Bush press secretary, suggested that the Democrats should recruit me to run for president, which is kind of special because it means that in the space of 20 years, Bush press secretaries have gone from telling me I need to watch what I say.
They need to watch what they say, watch what they do, and this is not a time for remarks like that. There never is.
They've gone from that to wondering if I should run for president.
It'll be interesting to see if Bill Maher is recruited to run for the presidency.
Now, some people think this means I've changed. I assure you, I have not. I am still the same unmarried, childless, pot-smoking libertine I always was. I have many flaws, but you can't accuse me of maturing. Let's get this straight. It's not me who's changed. It's the left, who is now made up of a small contingent who've gone mental and a large contingent who refuse to call them out for it. But I will. That's why I'm a hero at Fox these days. Which shows just how much liberals have their head up their ass, because if they really thought about it, they would have made me a hero on their media. Yeah. But that can't happen in this ridiculous new era of mind-numbing partisanship, where if I keep it real about the nonsense in the Democratic Party, it makes me an instant hero to Republicans. The same thing happened in reverse to Darth Vader's daughter, Liz Cheney, who is now a hero to liberals simply because she recognizes Biden did not steal the last election. What a sad commentary on our politics, where simply acknowledging reality is now seen as a profile in courage. People sometimes say to me, you didn't used to make fun of the left as much. Yeah, because they didn't give me so much to work with. The oath of office I took was to comedy. And if you do goofy wherever you are in the spectrum, I'm going to make fun of you because that's where the gold is. And the fact that they are laughing at it should tell you something. It rings true. When normal people read that San Francisco has basically legalized shoplifting, they think Democrats have gone nuts. They think, you know, that Ted Cruz guy seems like a real stiff. But at least he believes in the concept of shopping with money. It's not my fault that the party of FDR and JFK is turning into the party of LOL and WTF. Members of Congress tweeting things like cancel rent, cancel mortgage, and no more policing or incarceration, declaring that capitalism is slavery, canceling Lincoln and Dr. Seuss, teaching children their oppressors and math is racist, making Mr. Potato Head gender neutral, and now an emoji for pregnant men. Real, I'm not making it up. California just passed a law requiring large retailers to have a non-gendered toy section. A non-gendered toy section? Isn't Ken enough? We need a law for that? Do you have to inject yourselves into everything? From where you can throw a Frisbee to who can braid hair? This is why so many people, by the way, were triggered by COVID policies. They were already sick of rules. Regulation should be a good issue for Democrats. It's certainly one they're associated with. And I think the average voter would agree that banks and chemical plants and drug companies need watching. Telling a company, you can't dump the waste from your hog farm straight into the water supply. We're mostly all for that. But Democrats have become a parody of themselves, just making rules to make rules because it makes you feel like you're a better person. Making sure that everything bad never happens again, which you can never fully do. It just makes everyone else's life a drag. The Biden infrastructure bill has a provision that requires all new cars to install an alert system that goes off when you leave a baby in the back seat, which is something done only by crackheads and people who sadly, yes, do it on purpose. And after every one of us winds up bearing the cost for cars to install this alarm, you know who's going to ignore it? Crackheads and people who do it on purpose. A sensor light is not going to fix this problem, and Democrats no longer possess the common sense to understand that not every problem in the world can be fixed with a regulation. But don't tell that to the advocacy groups who also want every future car in America to only start when the driver blows into a breathalyzer. Oh, great, my other car is a Karen. Well, you know, it's also not safe to drive when you're crying. Should we make a car that follows your texts and stops the engine when you're dumped? Racism is bad. How about a car that won't start unless you play a message about tolerance from George Takei? Regular viewers of this program may recall my long battle to get solar power hooked up at my house. It involved this shed, which had to be built to house this solar battery. Yes, that battery needed a house to live in. And not just any house, one that had to follow the specifications of this chart. That's a real chart of the steps we had to go through to get this thing turned on. Democrats have to stop thinking that what the voters dream about is to be hassled. If you buy a shed at Costco, it comes with this warning. Warning, this product can expose you to wood dust. Wood dust. No kidding, which is known to the state of California to cause cancer. That's right, California thinks you're going to snort your shed. I don't want a Pinocchio. I just want to put the lawnmower away.
Welcome back, everyone. Now, to really appreciate what we're going to show you, you should go to progressiveradionetwork.com. Again, progressiveradionetwork.com. Then scroll down to where it says Gary Nall Show Notes. That's where you'll be able to watch and listen to these videos. All right? First up, we're going to play you just a part of a clip. We're going to play 5 minutes each day of what really happened in Washington, D.C. These are the real stories, and it shows you the manipulation of the mainstream media to try to cast this as all anti-vaxxers. Not true at all. Let's go to that clip now.
Thousands of people have come from all over the country to the Lincoln Memorial here in Washington, D.C. to protest against vaccine mandates that are being implemented throughout the nation. The Defeat the Mandates rally drew attendees from across the country in a broad variety of political stripes. Physicians, attorneys, grassroots organizers and activists, athletes and musicians, all ages and walks of life were on hand. It's part of a global protest movement that has gained momentum as governments have installed increasingly restrictive vaccine mandates and passport regimes.
Whatever you want to call this movement, the medical freedom movement, you could call it that, is one of the largest protest movements across the globe of our lifetimes. And when indigenous protesters from El Alto in La Paz, Bolivia, Moroccans in Casablanca, Iranians in Tehran, Swedes in Stockholm, Germans in Berlin are all protesting the mandates in their own societies, then this isn't a left-right issue. It's about the global 99% fighting against a cold and ruthless machine that seeks to reduce every individual to a QR code.
But in the days and hours leading up to the event, mainstream media outlets, many of which do paid advertisements for pharmaceutical corporations, were calling them anti-vax. The McCarthyite smear applied to anyone who questions the official narrative about the pandemic response. They cited anonymous government officials to warn that the protesters could be violent extremists.
And officials fear extremist groups will be there.
These extremist forms are into this rally.
More and more bringing in extremist elements.
So the FBI, Department of Homeland Security, Metropolitan and U.S. Park Police, and others are helping local businesses prepare for the crowds and possibly confront protesters who may refuse to wear masks indoors or provide vaccination cards or comply with D.C. rules.
Early in the morning before the crowds arrived, NBC was on hand. Last night on MSNBC, they were declaring that this rally was full of extremists. Does that seem like a fair description of you or what you've seen here so far?
That definitely doesn't seem like a fair description, no. It's kind of a fishy narrative to put out ahead of the game, you know? Like, I have a good feeling that this is going to be a worthwhile event that's going to maybe bring people together.
As the morning went on, rallygoers congregated at the Washington Monument before marching to the Lincoln Memorial. At the center, an organization of firefighters protesting the mandate. Still, there was no sign of violence. As for extremism, some held signs calling to decrease the polarization that has gripped the nation over the past several years, thanks in no small part to mainstream media. Some blame the vaccine mandates on socialism, and others on capitalism. Either way, the crowd was perhaps the most politically diverse to have ever gathered on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial.
I love that people are out here for a common cause. There are people who are here representing religion. There are people here representing politics. I'm here representing what I believe in, and that's children should not be vaccinated with an experimental vaccine. It's that if you've recovered from COVID, you shouldn't be required, no one should be required to have a vaccine if they don't want it. And that doctors should be able to do their jobs without restriction. We know a vaccination card does not equal a negative COVID test. We know that it doesn't prevent transmission. It makes zero sense besides trying to force order on people.
My message is that there can't be gray area in making decisions that are right for our bodies. Like, there's so much hypocrisy on both sides. I mean, the left decided to champion my body, my choice, yet now a lot of them are completely backpedaling on that and saying that we're not respecting other people by not getting vaccinated, and we know that's just not true.
These school nurses came from New Jersey and will soon be fired as they will not comply with imminent vaccine mandates.
For New Jersey, you're not fully vaccinated unless you are double vaxxed plus the booster, and that all starts February 28th as well, which happens to be my birthday. Happy birthday, right? You're losing your job.
Thank God I'm close to retirement, because I and that's partly why I'm out here for all the other parents and other healthcare workers that don't have a choice, that have to put food on their table.
New York City firefighter Sophie Medina says firefighting crews were already short-staffed before the vaccine mandates.
Now, our second clip is with the former premier of Canada. Most importantly, this is the legislator who wrote the original laws, and he's the only one left from that panel decades ago. And he's alive to say why Canada and Trudeau are not honoring the law. And therefore, all these truckers who are demonstrating, good for them. Now it's time for the lawyers to go to work and to show that you're breaking the law. You've been breaking the law. And all the lockdowns do not constitute anything being done on the public's interest. And again, he's telling you the actual laws. We have a lot of viewers and listeners in Canada. Please bring this clip to the attention of law firms, so class action lawsuits against the government to stop these mandates and stop punishing people and stop fining people. So now the law's on your side, and here's the person who actually wrote the law. So how about that for an exclusive? You're getting it from the horse's mouth there.
Is that there is a section in Charter of Rights and Freedoms which allows governments to override these freedoms in unusual circumstances. And I remember this very well when we were crafting the Constitution. These unusual circumstances, because we're putting it in the Constitution, it's not a federal act or a provincial act. It's in a Constitution which is supposed to enshrine permanent values and give glue to the country. Okay? So this Section 1 can only be used, and I remember this well, in times of peril, in times of war and insurrection, or when the state is in peril. When the existence of the state is in peril, this particular virus, for which there's a recovery of 99%, a fatality rate of less than 1%, does not constitute, in my view, a situation where the country is in peril. And therefore, I argue that Section 1 doesn't even apply, even though they're trying to make it apply and use that as the reason for doing what they're doing.
So you're saying that in your estimation, and this is a consequence of the knowledge that you bring forth from conferring with all the people who drafted this legislation to begin with at the provincial and the federal level, that when you drafted it, you did not envision that its provisions could be violated under conditions that weren't a threat, like a fundamental threat to the integrity of the country itself. And
exactly.
that the current state of affairs on the public health front does in no way meet that criteria.
Absolutely. It does not at all meet that criteria. And even in the extreme circumstance, because we're all fair people, that you tried to make Section 1 apply, and you said what Peckford and others are saying happened in 81, 82, when Section 1 doesn't apply, does apply, then there are four tests that have to be met in order for it to apply. That means it must be demonstrably justified that what the action is worthwhile. In other words, some kind of cost-benefit analysis. It must be done by law. It must be done in reasonable limits. And fourthly, and most importantly, all of those three must be done within the context of a free and democratic society. And a free and democratic society, to me, means parliamentary democracy in our country. We have 14 parliaments, and they have been completely silent. There's no parliamentary committee anywhere in any of those 14 parliaments looking at what's happening to our country. There are the people's representatives. And so,
okay, so you're also saying, and this is also terrible, that you're also saying that even the process itself by which these exceptions could be made has been essentially subverted in the name of something approximating expediency, but that the rationale for that expediency does not indicate a level of seriousness sufficient to justify that expedient process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly what I'm saying. And I think that's extremely unfortunate. And I only speak for myself on this. There's quite a few experts around. Like the great Barrington Declaration over a year ago now identified, and these were some of the greatest epidemiologists in the world, how to approach this kind of a situation, okay? And that's their principles still stand, you know? You protect the vulnerable. You do everything to protect the vulnerable in this kind of situation. And by the way, this is not new. All of the provinces of Canada have what's called emergency measures organizations, which we spend all these millions on as taxpayers, who do nothing else, who sit down every day and organize a plan for some kind of an emergency declared, let's admit, maybe an emergency, or at least a very serious situation in the country. And then they bring to bear all of the planning tools that are necessary, not just a narrow clinical one from the Department of Health.
Right.
And see how is the best way. And Lieutenant Colonel David Redman out of Alberta, who wrote the new Emergency Measures Act there, speaks eloquently to this and has produced all kinds of documents that nobody has challenged, that this was the appropriate approach to take.
Okay, and so there's two issues that stem out of that. The first is what has also happened, and you're making allusion to that, is that our political leaders have not only circumvented the parliamentary process to produce provisions that violate the Canadian Charter of Rights, but they've abdicated their responsibility for overall governance, which is the balancing of all sorts of competing interests, to a narrow public, so-called public health policy. So, and that's also inappropriate governance in the most fundamental sense.
Yes, absolutely, no question. And if anybody looks at the documentation that the Lieutenant Colonel David Redman has produced, they will be convinced that, we had the swine flu and other flus before this one, other infectious diseases, and that's why these emergency measures organizations were put in place for, you know, like when the river floods in Winnipeg, or when we have, an ice storm in Quebec or whatever, that there are people who have already planned for all of this and have already contacted the private sector, the public sector, all the relevant government departments. So when something happens, they're ready to move quickly on all fronts and have a very joint effort to ensure that the totality of society is considered.
Isn't compromised.
Isn't compromised, and you put in measures which acknowledge all the factors. Because now we know from studies that have been produced even by Dr. Douglas Allen of Simon Fraser University, who looked at 80 studies over a year ago, which showed that the cure was worse than the disease. In other words, the lockdowns caused so many problems on the other side that it was difficult to justify the measures that were being used.
Okay, now you alluded to the fact.
This next short video clip is very disturbing. You'll make up your mind for yourself. It's a woman who is on a full-fledged rant, and we're only showing you part of it because it's about 9 minutes long. We're going to show you about 3 minutes, but in this 3 minutes, here's what you're watching. You're watching 500,000 peaceful demonstrators in Brussels, all right? And you see them. You see them from every kind of angle, walking down the streets, in this giant park, you see them. You see them singing and clapping and waving flags, all peaceful. But that's not what the media showed you. The media showed you just the opposite. Here's what you've got to look for now. You've got to watch that there's a man there directing everything. All right? There's also a camera person filming what he is telling him to direct. You'll see that they're the protesters, not the demonstrators who are peaceful, but these protesters, all wearing black, are then being coached what to do. You even see one scene where one of the police, fires one of the sprays at this guy, and then the guy says, "You know who I am? I'm part of you." "Oh, I'm sorry." And then he goes, you see them joining each other. They're standing side by side. They're walking side by side. And then suddenly it's, now, go break down the windows. It's absolutely a staged event. You see it in real time. Compare the two. You just judge for yourself. And this was sent all over the world. None of the real peaceful demonstration was presented in any of the mainstream media.
Brussels against mandatory QR codes and vaccinations. It was a beautiful and peaceful protest. Yet, something was horribly wrong. This is what is shown by the mainstream media as I speak.
Protests against COVID measures descended into chaos and violence in Brussels on Sunday, with some demonstrators attacking the building of the European Union External Action Service.
Yet this is what the protesters experience. What happened? Something that has made me furious, and I want the world to know. This message is for the police, the military, the mainstream media, and Antifa. All four of you, as clearly you were in this together, and we have the videos to prove it. While the peaceful protesters did their beautiful thing, you set up stage and performed a nauseating act. Notice the difference. Colourful protesters, as always. What a sharp contrast with the four of you. Let's start with the aggressors, shall we? They were Antifa members, as you can see by their flag. Eerily similar to the Nazi flag, but surely that's just a coincidence. By the badges on their coats, and by the fact that they always wear black clothes and cover their face in order to hide their identity. Antifa members are paid to do what they do. Be aggressive, throw stones and firework, scream, shout, fight, and vandalize. Who pays them? George Soros. You don't believe me? Then watch part 2 and 3 of The Fall of the Cabal. Plenty of evidence there. Number 2. The mainstream media. How come you were positioned at precisely the right locations, running around right in front of the police?
Your thoughts? We're going to take a break now. When we come back, I won't be video streaming because I want to take your calls, 888-874-4888, and also I'm going to give you a part of a commentary from Glenn Greenwald. It is brilliant. The entire commentary is posted on PRN.fm, or no, ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, and on my site as well. It is entitled "The Pressure Campaign on Spotify to Remove Joe Rogan Reveals the Religion of Liberals, Censorship." Yeah. And by the way, you want a bigger, Glenn, you want a bigger group to look at? Look at Wikipedia. That's all that they do. They're controlled by the corporate liberal establishment. And look at who they attack. And look at the consequences. Back in a moment for Glenn Greenwald's commentary, part of it. But I'm going to get your statements in. They count. 888-874-4888. All of this shows we now have the full power of showing how corrupt everything is and to go forward with new information to help people heal, help prevent disease, help overcome disease using the best of orthodox medicine and the best of alternative therapy. And as you heard him say, the cure is worse than what it's trying to cure. So, he is correct. Also, a shout out to Joe Rogan. I've never met him, don't know him. But he's beginning to backpedal, and that's a mistake. All the networks are saying that he has been giving misinformation, disinformation, dangerous information. That is not true. I've watched at least 20 of his segments. All the people he's had on are responsible people. All are qualified in their field. It's just that it runs completely different than the official narrative, which is killing people and causing gross harm. They will demonize him, and in time they will win. Never apologize for being right. Never. He was right, but now he's showing, as tough a person as he is, as open as he was to have an open discussion with people, now he will have, by Spotify, they're going to put warnings on there, and then they're going to guide you to people who are real authorities, who will tell you the truth. You know, and a lot of that is coming from the very people who've engaged in the disinformation campaign and the cancel culture. In fact, Google is putting up Wikipedia now to the official fact checkers. Google is going itself engaged in nothing but nonsense, is going to take, in my opinion, the worst information resource in the world, Wikipedia, and they're going to be this is how insane it's all become. Now, because I want to get in this Glenn Greenwald commentary, at least some of it, I'm not going to go to our final video. You can go online and watch it. Now, also, some of you thought you were watching today's program, but unfortunately, because of the delay in what is happening in that system of the Zoom matching the audio, and they both have to match, you'll be able to download today's program and watch each of these videos. It'll all be up there within an hour. But now you're only getting the audio part. And that's why this last segment you can watch on your own. It's by a highly agitated person who actually is correct in her facts. Richard Gale's on the line. Here's what you're going to watch if you choose to watch, and I hope you do. The truth of Ottawa. Peaceful demonstration. 500,000 people. But then you'll see a completely staged operation with a cinematographer and a director having the black shirts attack, break windows, and get tear gas, fight the cops. There are no real physical beatings. It's all staged. You'll see it. You'll see it with your own eyes. Now, maybe you're so close-minded that even the truth will not open that mind up. And that's fine. That's you. But for everyone else, you're going to think, my God, have they been doing this all along? Yes, they have. In everything. Everything you can think about, they stage. I've mentioned before that the CIA, which is the heart and soul of the corporate Democrat establishment, they trust the FBI. They trust the CIA. They trust the deep state. Since when does anyone with anything measurable to a objective mindset trust any of these pathologically destructive, evil, and vile organizations, top to bottom? That's what we're dealing with. Sorry, I was lecturing for almost 6 hours yesterday, so I'm a little hoarse today. So now you can watch it for yourself. You'll actually see it. You'll see it. What you do with it is up to you. Richard Gale, your thoughts after witnessing the fact that this woman was able to get the footage of the staging of the protest as a way of creating a false narrative for all the media that chose the false narrative rather than the truth by having its own reporters, cinematographers on the ground who could have seen the truth and reported the truth.
Yeah, Gary. And just a little correction there, because you mentioned Ottawa, and that was this video that you're referring to is dealing with Brussels in Belgium.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Where that was, Brussels.
Yeah. I heard you say Ottawa, so because there are all these other demonstrations going on everywhere else around the world, except they don't seem to be picking up any steam fire here. But anyway, I think, just so what viewers will see is you will actually see these kind of the European equivalent they'll use the term Antifa and all these, although a lot of these are kind of the right wing neo-Nazi groups and different kind of fringe groups throughout Europe. But they are being utilized and used, and you actually see in this video the police working in consort with these violent protesters who were breaking store windows and storefronts, but everything that gets blamed on the majority of the 500,000 people that were protesting in Brussels who are actually peaceful demonstrators. And now we're actually, and I just noticed today, because this is the second day of the events in Ottawa, and although there hasn't been any kind of violence, it's been a completely peaceful protest. But whatever Newsweek and the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, has already been posting, whatever little tiny incident they can find, you know, whether just somebody, you know, peeing on the street, they are turning this into, you know, violent, you know, behavior by miscreants. And so this is just the right. Media blurb, Richard, that's being given.
Richard, we've got to go to Glenn Greenwald. I want him to get involved in this, but thank you, and we will do more on this. Now I'm quoting verbatim Glenn Greenwald's January 29th, 2022 piece. You can read the entire piece. American liberals are obsessed with finding ways to silence and censor their adversaries. Every week, if not every day, they have new targets they want deplatformed, banned, silenced, and otherwise prevented from speaking or being heard by liberals. I mean the term self-description used by the dominant wing of the Democratic Party. For years, their preferred censorship tactic was to expand and distort the concept of hate speech to mean views that make us uncomfortable. So anything that made anyone on the left uncomfortable, that was hate speech, and then demand that such hateful views be prohibited on that basis. For that reason, it's now common to hear Democrats assert falsely that the First Amendment's guarantee of freedom of speech does not protect hate speech. Their political culture has long inculcated them to believe that they can comfortably silence whatever views they arbitrarily place into their category without being guilty of censorship. Constitutional literacy to the side, the hate speech framework for justification of censorship is now insufficient because liberals are eager to silence a much broader range of voices than those they can credibly accuse of being hateful. That is why the newest and now most popular censorship framework is to claim that their targets are guilty of spreading, quote, misinformation or disinformation. These terms by design have no clear or concise meaning, like the term terrorism. It is their elasticity that makes them so useful. As an aside, that is why when Spotify now is going to have all of these outside credible experts with real information, then engage Joe Rogan to make sure that his misinformation or disinformation or any of the guests he has on or any discussion of COVID is somehow the public knows, warning, close your eyes, close your ears, you're about to hear something that he has the freedom to say, but we have the freedom to censor. You made it, you know, you and Dan, if you never read Daniel Webster, read it, because you just signed a bargain with the devil, Joe. You've been compromised now, and you apologize for it. You weren't wrong. That's your mistake. Shame on you. Liberals' favorite media outlet is from CNN to MSNBC to the New York Times to the Atlantic, spend 4 years disseminating one fabricated Russian story after the next, from the Kremlin hacking into Vermont's heating system and Putin's sexual blackmail over Trump to bounties on the heads of U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan, the Biden email archive being Russian disinformation and a magical mystery weapon that injures American brains with cricket noises. None of that is disinformation. that requires management, nor are false claims that COVID's origin has proven to be zoonotic rather than in a lab leak, the vastly overstated claim that vaccines prevent transmission of COVID, or that Julian Assange stole classified documents and caused people to die. Corporate outlets beloved by liberals are free to spout serious falsehoods without being deemed guilty of disinformation, and because of that, do so routinely. This different disinformation term is reserved for those who question liberal policies, not for those devoted to affirming them. That is the real functional definition of disinformation and of their little cousin, misinformation. It is not possible to disagree with liberals or see the world differently than they see it. The only two choices are unthinking submission to the dogma or acting as an agent of disinformation. Dissent does not exist to them. Any deviation from their worldview is inherently dangerous to the point that it cannot be heard. The data proving a deeply radical authoritarian strain in Trump-era Democratic Party politics is ample and have been extensively reported here. Democrats overwhelmingly trust and love the FBI and the CIA. Polls show they overwhelmingly favor censorship of the internet, not only by big tech oligarchs, but also by the state. Leading Democratic Party politicians have repeatedly subpoenaed social media executives and explicitly threatened them with legal and regulatory reprisals if they did not censor more aggressively, a likely violation of the First Amendment given decades of case law regarded ruling that state officials are barred from coercing private actors to censor for them in ways the Constitution prohibits them from doing directly. Democratic officials have used the pretext of COVID, the insurrection, and Russia to justify their censorship demands. Both Joe Biden and his Surgeon General, Dr. Murthy, have, quote, urged, end quote, Silicon Valley to censor more when asked about Joe Rogan and others who air what they call disinformation about COVID. They cheered the use of pro-prosecutorial tactics against Michael Flynn and other Russiagate targets, made a hero out of Capitol Hill police officer who shot and killed the unarmed Ashley Babbitt, voted for an additional $2 billion to expand the function of the Capitol Police, have demanded and obtained lengthy prison sentences in solitary confinement, even for nonviolent 1-6 defendants, and even seek to import the war on terror onto domestic soil. Given the climate prevailing in the American liberal faction, this authoritarianism is anything but surprising. For those who convince themselves that they are not battling mere political opponents with a different ideology, but a fascist movement led by a Hitler-like figure bent on imposing totalitarianism, a core-defining belief of modern-day democratic politics, it is virtually inevitable they will embrace authoritarianism. When a political movement is subsumed by fear, the orange Hitler will put up in camps and end democracy if he wins again, then it is not only expected, but it is even rational to embrace authoritarian tactics, including censorship, to stave off this existential threat. Fear always breeds authoritarianism, which is why manipulating and stimulating that human instinct is the favorite tactic of political demagogues. And it goes on for there. My last moment is this. Joe, if you want to fight back, do so without emotion. Simply have all of your guests who've been on the air take a transcript of each one, which you have, and then ask them to provide the actual peer-reviewed scientific documentation, and including in all of that, official documents from the FDA and the CDC and Anthony Fauci and the World Health Organization, and then present that to Spotify, present that to the world with a press conference. Have all of the figures who have appeared on your show in any segment they deem controversial, meaning anything on COVID, and then ask those individuals to be challenged by anyone, the world press, all of them, not to be able to support what they said. They will all not only be able to support everything they said was accurate, but is absolutely now acknowledged by the world larger scientific community, by the hundreds of thousands. And yet none of that will mean anything to the core corporate Democrats, the people around them, the corporations, the vaccine manufacturers. That's how you fight back, Joe. Take it for someone who's been fighting him for a long time. Again, don't apologize for being on the right side of this. NBC and the rest of them, these are all provocateurs. These are people who disseminate disinformation, not news. These are all biased people, all of them. So simply have your facts in hand. Whenever I go into a debate, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of debates, I don't go in there to demean anyone. I go in there to present my facts. The audience is smart enough to see who's got the real facts on their side. And if they have fact checkers, then I would show the fact checkers work for Johnson & Johnson. No conflict there. The makers of one of the vaccines, and they paid billions of dollars in fines for bad drugs, and they have a fact-checking organization. Show that all of that on the other side is corrupt, which it is. Use the facts. The American public's smart enough to know the truth when it's presented. Backing off, apologizing, that's not the way to go. Sure, you have the strength, the same strength you've shown in your careers. Now show. Otherwise, I promise you this, a year from now, you'll be lucky to have any platform whatsoever. They will have won. Thank you all for listening. I'm Gary Nolan. Have a nice day.